Well, dear friends, I greet you in Jesus' name. And it is so good to be back. I really am very, I've missed you guys. And I hope you've missed me. I've been gone for 3 months. I've been on sabbatical leave, and I've been studying discipleship movements and missional communities. I've been to Sheffield, England, to Portland, Oregon, and also right here in San Jose working with City Team. It's been a fruitful and challenging time, but it's also given me a chance to get a little R&R. So I want to say thank you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to get away and also to learn some things that I hope will be useful to this congregation as we go forward on our discipleship path. I want to tell you right up front that the words discipleship, and mission are on everybody's lips. I mean, all throughout the Christian world, as well as in American churches and right here in San Jose. And in each place, it feels like those words and those concepts have sprung from independent sources without, you know, communicating with each other. But what I find is that they are using the same language and very similar strategies throughout the world. So I can only conclude that this is indeed a movement of the Holy Spirit, truly a movement of the Holy Spirit worldwide, and it is exciting to be a part of that movement. This sabbatical journey has been a pilgrimage for me. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Pilgrimage is more than just a journey. A pilgrimage has a clear destination and it has a spiritual purpose. And of course, it involves travel. And in these days, that means airplanes, trains, and automobiles, along with your own two legs. It can also mean delays, last-minute changes, frustrations, and extra expenses. I mean, some days just don't go so well, you know? You have back pain, and you're coughing because of bronchitis, and you're jet-lagged, and you've lost a night of sleep, but you still have to run up and down multiple stairways in order to make the next train. And yes, this does describe my first 8 hours in England. But what happened was that my overseas flight was delayed, which caused me to miss my connecting flight between London and Manchester, and so I ended up taking the train, unexpectedly, I might add. But the thing is, when you do reach your destination, and you have managed all those bumps along the way, you feel pretty good about yourself. And the other thing is that having had all those bumps in the road, precisely because of those bumps in the road, you've also had some very rich experiences. And sometimes what happens along the way is just as important as reaching that final destination. You and I are on a pilgrimage. Pilgrimage is a biblical image for discipleship. We are people of the way. We are following Jesus. We have a destination and we have a purpose. So how do you find your way? How do you know when you have reached your just destination? Well, most of us, when we go on a trip, we use either a map or, like I showed the kids just now, a GPS, a global positioning system. And when we go on a road trip, like when we went up to Portland, Jim is normally the driver and I am the navigator. This is a surefire way of killing any. This is a surefire way of killing any marriage. I can tell you right now, and so I have learned to use that GPS, and I also want to tell you, I can read a map. I mean, I'm good. So using that GPS, I plot our start and our finish and our stopping points, and I have learned to deal with that panicky little GPS voice that says, off route, recalculating route. She's very emotional. But overall, I have found a GPS a really helpful way to plan your trip and to keep you on track. As pilgrims, you are given a GPS, one that we might call a God positioning system, which gives you your start, your finish, and the stopping points along the way. Over the next 3 Sundays, I'm going to be talking about your GPS for life. I'll be sharing some insights in terms of pilgrimage, family, and lifestyle. Today we will begin with pilgrimage, with Abraham's call to leave and to go. Next week we'll look at the household of God, how we are a family of disciples. And finally, we'll see what it means to change up your life altogether. As you adopt a missional lifestyle. So let's look at our text, a missional lifestyle. We're looking at Genesis chapter 12, as Abraham began the pilgrimage of a lifetime. God told him to leave everything behind and to go forward to a place that he would show him. So in Genesis 12:1, the Lord says to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household." Now this is a very tall order, and I wonder what you or I would say if God told us the same thing. I mean, you might say, "Hold on a minute, Lord, let's just talk this through. You want me to sell my house? You want me to quit my job? You want me to get a passport and move to another country? You want me to leave all the people I love, my parents, my friends, my family? Really?" And yet that was the deal. That's what God told Abraham to do. And that's what Abraham did. God told Abraham, "Leave. Put all those things behind you, because you know what? They are not the most important things in life." Now, I know I've just lost about half of you because you think they are the most things in life. I mean, that's what we spend almost all of our time on. That's what we are trained to value. And they're valuable things. Don't get me wrong. But these are all gifts from God in the first place, right? All of these things, nationality, family, livelihood, possessions, home, these are good gifts from God. He can give them to you again. So what is the most important thing in your life? The most important thing is to seek whatever God desires for you. That's where you will get a life. That's where you will find joy. Now, God may not ask you to leave all of these things, but the question remains, could you do it? Would you do it? Is God allowed to ask you to leave? First leave, then go. God told Abraham, "Go to the land I will show you." Now, as we heard a few minutes ago, Abraham was not given a map. And as far as we know, he got very few details. In fact, it makes me wonder what that conversation with Sarah might have been like. "Oh, we're going to go somewhere? Where are we going to go?" "I don't know." "Well, how are we going to get there?" "Not sure." "Well, how long is this going to take?" "I don't know." I can't imagine that that conversation went really well. He had no map. He really had no destination, because God said, "Go to the land that I will show you." Nevertheless, he packed everything up and he went, and they traveled literally on faith. Going is part and parcel with leaving. Going and leaving are two sides of the same coin. I mean, you can't leave one place without going somewhere else. And in the same way, mission is a part of discipleship. The two go hand in hand. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. I mean, right there. Discipleship and mission are woven out of the same fabric. We are to go and to tell people about Jesus, serving others, telling them, showing them God's love. Going is a part of discipleship. It's mission. Leave the old behind. Go and embrace the new and remember the promises. To the GPS commands that we have so far are leave and go. The third one is promise, and they are many. Jesus said, I will be with you always to the end of the world. He promises to send his Holy Spirit, who will give you direction, who will give you the words to speak. Jesus promises to walk with you, to bless you, to make you a blessing. And finally, to bring you home safely in the end. Abraham was given no map, but he was given a promise. In fact, he was given three very specific promises. This is where God gives him details, and they are big promises. First, not just a new family, but a family as big as a nation, a whole new nation. Second, a new home and a new land, but also a new name and reputation. And third, not just a life, but to be blessed and to be a blessing to others. That makes a very full and rich life. A little earlier, we heard from the New Testament, from the book of Acts, Stephen's testimony, in which he begins by telling the story of Abraham's pilgrimage. And we find that those promises that God made to Abraham kept Abraham going. That's what kept him moving ahead. And yet, those promises were never completely fulfilled in his lifetime. Think about it. Abraham never owned land in Israel other than a burial place for Sarah. He never built a house there. He lived in tents all his life. He seemed unsure of where the promised land was. In fact, he passed it right by the first time through and ended up in Egypt. And let's face it, he wasn't much of a blessing. Abraham tended to stir up trouble wherever he went. And yet, Abraham was greatly blessed. He heard God's voice. He talked with him. He believed in him, and believing in him, he obeyed God. He left and he went, and he had the adventure of a lifetime, which is now immortalized for us in Scripture. That pilgrimage took his entire life. Eugene Peterson says that pilgrimage is a long obedience in the same direction. I think that's a good description. A long obedience in the same direction. Well, eventually, all of God's promises to Abraham were fulfilled. And in the greatest promise of all, through Abraham, through his descendant Jesus, all peoples of the earth are blessed. God keeps his promises. You can believe in him, and trusting in his promises, you can leave and just go. Life on pilgrimage is not easy. One of the reasons is that it doesn't always follow the course that you have charted. Remember the start, the finish? Doesn't always work out that way. So the question is it worth it? Is a life of following Jesus worth the leaving and the going and all the risks inherent in an adventure? His own disciples answered that question as the large crowds that had begun to follow Jesus began to thin out. They had found that following Jesus, that discipleship, was just a little bit too hard. Noticing this, Jesus turned to the 12. And he asked them, will you too go away? You know, I wonder if they hesitated. I wonder if they stopped to think that question over, to kind of mull it over, to weigh the pros and cons. But finally, they answered in quite an honest and frank way, I think, "Lord, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life." Excuse me. Frog in my throat. "You have the words of eternal life, right? I mean, what other life is there? Where else can you find the same meaning, the same direction? Where else can you find a GPS that is as reliable and true?" My friends, there is no other. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one gets to the Father except through me." Life without Jesus is like a boat with neither sail nor rudder. You just kind of drift through life, taken away by any current, blown by any stray wind. You would be just drifting without that true wind of the Holy Spirit blowing behind you, bringing you into safe harbor. Yes, pilgrimage is worth it. It is totally worth it to follow Jesus. All other kinds of life are pale, limp, and lifeless by comparison. Leave, go, promise. This is your GPS when you are on pilgrimage. Your start is to leave the old life behind. Your finish is to find that new life, the one that God will show you as you go. And as you encounter stopping points, whether they are scheduled or unexpected, those promises will sustain you. Jesus' command is to each one of us personally, but also to us communally as a congregation. Now, St. Timothy's has been following models to do church for some time, models that have served us very well in the past, but now seem to be falling short of what God wants for us to do. The membership model is one example. And the membership model is one you all know. It's so familiar. This is the way it works. First, you attract people to come to your church, variety of ways. Maybe it's a nice sign, or maybe it's VBS or something. You attract people to your church. You give them the programs that they need and want. Children's programs, you give them teen programs, you give them all kinds of stuff, good preaching, good music, and all of these things are important. And then you invite them to join. I mean, it sounds very reasonable, and that's what churches throughout Christendom have been doing for at least the last 200 years. But let's face it, our membership is far greater than our weekly attendance. And again, this is true everywhere for any church that is following this model. The simple act of making members does not necessarily result in disciples. And you know what? Jesus never told us to build the church. That's his job. Jesus said, "I will build my church." He gave us a different command, and that command is to go and make disciples. To go and make disciples who will sit and learn at Jesus' feet, who will go out and make more disciples, teaching them to follow him, teaching them to make a difference around them. Go and make disciples. That's the command that is given to St. Timothy's and every Christian church. Now, does that mean that we're going to leave membership behind, that we're going to sort of shred the membership roster? Well, no. Membership has its value. It is a beginning form of commitment. But we need to go beyond membership building to discipleship making. It's time to return to the original model that Jesus gave us so long ago. On my own sabbatical pilgrimage, I encountered congregations that had left the old models behind when they got serious about discipleship. One of them, through no fault of their own, lost their property. And so between one week and the next, their whole congregation was scattered into house churches throughout the city. And it took a year before they got themselves organized again. But you know what? That was a very fruitful year. Ironically, the church grew. And now St. Thomas's in Sheffield has 7 campuses, more than 60 missional communities, and have made thousands of new disciples. New disciples, people who had never known Jesus before. Another congregation, a small dying congregation in urban Portland, made the intentional sacrificial choice to give their property away, to give it to a new, young, vibrant church that needed the space to grow. It was hard, but out of that seed that was allowed to die, a new plant emerged, and it has now produced not just one, but several new startup congregations. Pilgrimage is tough. It provides some unexpected twists and turns. But both of those congregations, very different stories, are now making disciples, and they are making a difference in their communities. Go, leave, promise. That's your GPS when you are on pilgrimage. Don't be afraid to leave behind the old and to go in a new direction if that's where God is calling you. Follow God's call. That's what's most important. Remember his promises, because they are real. God